Oh, the kids down the front. Come on.
Hurry, 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 hurry. Hurry, 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 hurry. Hurry.
Right. G'day, kids. G'day.
G'day, Bonnie.
G'day. Good morning. How are you?
Very good.
Hello. When do you say some of those things? When you hear ring, 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 what do you, or da, 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 da. What do you say? Hello. Is that right? Yes. Or hi. No, I don't say hi. Hi is doesn't originate in Australia, but g'day does. I'm serious. Okay, so have you been making these sorts of things upstairs? Sort of, right? A notebook that looks like one of these that we're putting apps on, prayer apps. Yes, yes, right. Well, in here, we never used to have those, you know. We used to have these. You remember? Good. Good. You remember playing with one of those? Yes, upstairs. That's where it's come from. Then we have one of these. That's part of a business phone. Each of the desks had one of those on, and if you wanted an outside line, you had to press the zero, I think. It's called an air phone. No? An AI. It's not air. It's a... Try that one in your pocket, Steve. Right. Then, before we've got these smartphones, we've got one of these. You know what that is? It's not a smartphone. That's mine. That's a dumb phone, right? Particularly at the moment because I tried to change providers and it won't do anything now. Okay. Now, so we talk on the telephone and we get to know people. Do you know, when telephones first started out, they used to have ladies sitting at desks with a whole lot of holes along the top, and they had, looked like carburetor leads actually, leads. And when you wanted to get to talk to somebody on the phone, you'd go wind, wind, wind at your phone at home, and the lady at Central would say, "Yes, who can I connect you to?" And you would say, and she'd take one line from here and plug it in, and you'd be put through to someone else. Who was ever did that job? Oh, wow. They must be old. Okay. So they're all ways of talking to people and listening to people. Now there's another way of talking to someone and listening to them. We've been doing it upstairs. We've been making your iPhones and, yeah? Yeah, we have. I said that. But what can we call talking to God, talking to Jesus? Prayer, right. Well, back when some of these people would remember, there was a song. And I think you would like to hear it. Yes? Right? It's pretty old. Thank you, Jono.
Telephone to glory, oh what joy divine. I can feel the current moving on the line. Made by God the Father for his very own. You may talk to Jesus on this royal telephone.
is on the line. You can hear from heaven almost any time. 'Tis a royal service built for one and all. When you get in trouble, give this royal line a call. Telephone to glory, oh what joy divine. I can feel the current moving on the line. Made by God the Father for his very own. You may talk to Jesus on this royal telephone. There will be no charges, telephone is free. It is built for service, just for you and me. There will be no waiting on this royal line. Telephone to glory always answers just in time. Telephone to glory, oh what joy divine.
Okay, the reading is from Acts 13, verses 1 to 3. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lysias of Cyrene, Manson, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So, after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off.
All right, Acts chapter 13. Have you got your Bibles? Acts chapter 13. This is a little passage, but boy, has it got some stuff in it. So, let's just have a quick look at it. Thank you, Bruce, for reading it. So here we go. Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Very simple three verses, but I think it's amazing on what they were doing. Firstly, we find out that they have a bunch of prophets and teachers within their congregation. And I know for a fact that we've got some amazingly gifted people in and through this church. I would dare say there are teachers within our church who lead home groups and involved in K2. Involved in teaching RI, involved in other areas where they are teachers of God's word in different ways. We have teachers upstairs right now teaching our children all about prayer. How good is it that you know that your kids will know about prayer, that they can talk to Jesus any time on any day? What a great lesson to learn, let alone them putting us to shame and knowing all the books of the Bible back to front. So we've got good teachers putting together good stuff. Prophets, we've got people who will speak into people's lives. I've had people in this church speak into my life. I know a number of you pray for me regularly, and I thank you for that. I thank you because it's very important to have the prayer of the saints praying for us. And we are all working together to make a difference. And where I can go, your prayers go with me. So these guys are meeting together, and there's an incredible bunch of those blokes. We hear a little bit about Barnabas, and we hear a bit about Paul, but the other guys we don't hear much more about, and so they sort of disappear. But they were important in this church, and they were doing something that was incredible. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, you know how I love formulas, right? 1 + 1 = 2. I like that when that happens. You know, put bait on line, throw in water, catch fish. I like it when that happens. And when it doesn't happen, falls apart. These guys are worshipping and fasting. And God speaks. God speaks to them through the Holy Spirit. Two things. Worshipping. We worship this morning. We come together in this format. We have people lead us in song. We sing a variety of different songs. And we can worship. We can worship this morning. And I saw many people doing that. We get to worship. We get to let our heart cry out to God. We can let the words of those songs just wash over us. We can let the beautiful guitar sounds or bass or the drums just help us in our emotions and our feelings to worship God and give him his worth and praise. And he can speak to us. My wife and I, as you know, we're very different. Cynthia loves to worship, and when she was pregnant with the kids, they all heard different songs, praise and worship songs, forever and ever and ever. And she will listen to praise and worship. I'll know when she's having a good time with God because I'll come home and the praise and worship music will be on throughout the house. And there's a couple of songs that she goes to hear what God's saying to her. Me, I like this thing. I think God likes me reading this thing. I'm not sure if he's too keen when I grab the guitar and I start singing. Just by myself. I think you might get Peter. Hey, go and listen to Donnie. See how he's going. But worship and fasting. How many folk fast regularly? Yeah, we've lost that, haven't we? We've lost the desire to fast. And there are so many things in our world that we could fast. Like these guys fasted food. Now, we could fast all different types of food. We could fast ice cream. We could fast chocolate. We could fast whatever. We can fast technology. We can fast cars and decide this week I'm going to walk everywhere. Catch local transport. We can do different things to fast. We can take God seriously to say, okay, this is something I want to do. So if we're going for a formula, then we could put worship and fasting. God speaks. God speaks. Now, whenever I fast, I can tell you, every day I fast, God's going to do something in my life. I'll get weird phone calls. I'll get crises will take place. And I think part of that strategy is God goes, Donnie's fasting. He's relying on me. He's calling out to me to do stuff in his life. So, okay, he's ready for this. And stuff happens. The amount of times I'll get a phone call to a deathbed situation will be on my day of fasting. So I want to challenge us as a church to fast. Not because it's a formula, but because it's good for each and every one of us. It's good for us to grab hold of something that's in our life that's controlling our life. Food, for me, yes. And I'm at a place right now where I'm going to say, right, one day a week I'm going to fast food. I'm going to set aside those times, breakfast, lunch and tea, just to say, okay, God, you and me. I'm going to give up this food just so you and I can spend some time together. But you can do other things as well. And fast Facebook. That'll probably do the world a good. There's things that we can fast. These guys were worshipping and fasting. And the Holy Spirit spoke to them. I think the other thing is that there's an expectation. When you came this morning, was there an expectation that you would hear from God? Was there an expectation that God would speak to you? That God would speak to you through the worship? I remember one time I went to, it was Good Life Church meeting at Mansfield High School. I went to that church. It wasn't my church at the time. I went for some friends. And I was feeling really crook and I had big questions in my head. And in the praise and worship time, it was just beautiful. And I felt God speak to me and minister into my life. And I went, wow, that was amazing. And then the preacher got up and he preached on what I was thinking about. And I went, wow, that's amazing. And then he said, if you want to pray through this, come down the front. And I said, you're about 45 minutes too late. God's already done it. We can do things at different parts of the service. It doesn't have to wait to the end. God can speak to you while we're worshiping and minister to where you're at. Here's the other thing. God can speak to you through the sermon as well. There might be one line or one phrase. When I was fishing, I was listening to praise and worship music, which helps it when you're standing there for 4 hours just waiting. So I was listening to some music, and one of the lines came through from a Super Chick song that says, "Everybody dies, but not everybody lives." Now I sat and reflected on that song, for that line, for ages. Not everybody lives. And with things about ordination and set apart and those things rattling through my head, I want to live for Jesus. I want to worship and fast and hear what God has to say to me, but also to us as the church. Wouldn't it be so cool that after a Sunday morning, you know, you send me 42 text messages. "Hey, Donnie, felt God say this for us as a church. Hey, Donnie, here's an email. Here's this. Here's what God said to me. Romans 12. We are to be a living sacrifice." That we hear what God's saying collectively and we get excited about what God's doing and we go, yeah, we're on a journey together because we worshipped and God is with us and he spoke to us. And the Holy Spirit said to them, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Set apart. Brendan, I'm told, Brendan, I haven't had a chance to listen to your sermon yet, mate, but I'm told from reliable sources that you preached really well last week, so thank you. I'm told many people put up their hand for prayer and wanted to know more about being set apart, called by God. And I thank you for that. And I want to encourage us all to keep on this journey. I'm going to challenge us again a bit more about that. So it may be a repeating of part of what Brendan said. But I think it's important that we get this message through and through. So they said, "Set apart Barnabas and Saul." Now, if we go back to the church in Antioch, God was doing a work in the church of Antioch. And Barnabas was sent up there from the Jerusalem church to check out what was going on and to teach them and to make sure they were doing orthodox things, right? Getting it right, in other words. And so Barnabas saw what God was doing, so he went and got Saul, who's now Paul, and brings him over, and they together, if you go back into the book of Acts, they taught together for a year in the church of Antioch. Now the church of Antioch has all these preachers, prophets, and teachers in their midst. They did a good job, hey? And then amongst this, they feel God saying, "Set them apart. Don't hold on to them here, but set them apart." Hasn't Barnabas and Saul just done something like that? Let me take you back a little bit. Acts chapter 11, we learn a little bit about the early church. And they realized that there was a drought and a famine. And so they raised all this money. And then in verse 36 in chapter 11, "This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul." So Barnabas and Saul were given the task of taking all the money down to Jerusalem. Now again, they didn't have a Land Rover to travel down this distance, so they had to carry all this money all the way down to Jerusalem. They were set apart to do that task. And it was a simple trip. Acts chapter 12 is all about Peter being in jail and his miraculous escape. And the amazing thing is when Peter's in jail, Barnabas and Paul are in Jerusalem. And so when there's a prayer meeting happening for Peter, there is a very strong possibility that Barnabas and Paul are in that prayer meeting praying for Peter to be released. Then we hear about Herod's death, and it's quite a terrible death. And he dies. And then in verse 24 of chapter 12, it says, "But the word of God continued to spread and flourish. And when Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark." So they go back to Antioch. So they've done this task. They've come back. We don't know the timeline. We don't know if it was next day or a couple of weeks or a month. But we know they're back. And the church goes, "Wow, you guys are good. You've met the guys, the apostles down in Jerusalem. Oh, amazing story about Peter. Wow, what about Herod? Wow. And God's church is growing." Wouldn't you want to keep those guys in your church? Wouldn't you want to go, "Hey, we've got Barnabas and Paul. This is really cool. How good is our church going to be with all their teaching and understanding?" But God said, "No, set them apart. Set them apart." And so, like good people, they stopped, and what did they do? They prayed again. They continued to pray, emphasizing again for us as followers of Jesus that we need to pray. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Now let me just take you into this place for a moment. They've already done one mission. They're being set apart to go on what God had already told them to do. So I'm guessing that Barnabas and Paul, God had already told them what they were to do. So let's think back to what it is that they go and do. We know, because we've read the book, that they go on what is called Paul's first mission journey. But go back to this time. Here they are praying and worshipping and fasting, and God says, set them apart to do what I've called them to do. So if you're a leader in the church, and God's saying, set them apart. So let's just hypothetically, let's do this as a team. So we've got two brothers here, Ben and Sam. So in our service today, we feel God to say, set these guys apart. So we set them apart. All right? And God says, get them to do what I've called them to do. So they must know what God's called them to do. And then they tell us, as the leadership of this church, oh yeah, we're to do a mission trip. You're to do a what? We know what mission trip is, but the early church doesn't, do they? We're going to go to Cyprus. Why are you going to Cyprus? That's where God's told us to go. Okay, weird. Why would God send you to Cyprus? Jerusalem's where it's all happening. We'll go to the Gentiles. No, we're going to Cyprus. That's what God said. Total shift in the head. Total shift of, hold on a sec, that's not where. Okay, well, guys, when you go to Cyprus, what are you going to do? I don't know. Go wherever God tells us to go. Really? We're going to send our two guns, the guys that know how to preach and teach and do all this other stuff, we're going to send you just on this willy-nilly trip out to Cyprus? And if you read the story, they go to Cyprus, and after traveling all over the place, they end up. And then there's an amazing story that takes place. And then after that, they cross over again. And they just keep going wherever God sends them. God lays it out. God sets out the journey. But the church sets them apart to go and do that. Isn't that amazing? What faith of an early church to say, go and do it. But what faith of Barnabas and Paul, to go and do that, not knowing exactly what the plan was. When we go to Malawi, we know what the plan is. We go to visit Tim and Mel, and Tim and Mel set up everything for us. It'd be really different if we're going to Malawi. What are you going to do there? Don't know. We're going to Managotchi, we're getting off the plane, and we're going to... Yeah, they don't speak English, Donnie. Yeah, okay, we've got a problem there then. Well, God will know what he's doing. It's really different what they're doing. But God is calling you and I to something different, to step out and do what God has called us to do, to be set apart. How many of us struggle with the understanding of being set apart by God? Do you feel set apart? Do you feel that God has called you to do something specifically? Or generally? Specifically, it can be difficult. I've got a number of folk that I'm praying for at the moment that are praying like crazy that God would show them exactly what it is that they are to do. Exactly what it is. Where they're going. What it is they're to do. And that can be frustrating. Anyone say amen to that? Hearing God's voice and knowing where God's calling, it can be frustrating. And you can get to a point and you can get exasperated with God. John Newton said these words. I think he put them in a song, and some of you might know the song. Well, I don't know it, but I've got this phrase. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I one day will be. But thank God, I am not what I once was. Isn't that true? And I thank God that I am not what I once was. And getting ready for ordination next week, I've been reflecting on what God has done in my life. And I praise God that I am not that young boy anymore. I praise God I'm not that young teenager. I praise God I'm not that young adult. And I've cried out for forgiveness and asking God to bring healing and peace into people's lives of where I've done stuff that was ridiculous. But I'm at a new place today and God is doing some new things. And we're all the same. All of us that have met Jesus, we've left behind the old man. We've left behind the old self. And there is a new way for us as followers of Jesus, for us to be called and set apart. All of us called by Jesus to be a shining light in the darkness. All of us called by Jesus to be his hands and feet every day. Every day. If you want a general word from God, I'm going to give you one. And it can change your life. It's been in my life for many years and I keep coming back to it and it challenges me. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Micah 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O mortal. Now, that's challenging, isn't it? O mortal. I like the old version, O man. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of me? This is what he requires. That you would act justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. If each and every one of us did that the rest of today, tomorrow, every day, wow, wouldn't this world be different? Wouldn't your world be different? But what does it mean to act justly? What does it mean to love mercy? And what does it mean to walk humbly with our God? Tim Keller says that this verse is, to walk humbly with God is to know him intimately and to be attentive to what he desires and loves. Isn't that great? To walk humbly with God is to know him intimately. To know God intimately. That's got to be a desire for us. Worship, fasting, hearing God's voice is all about knowing God intimately. And to be attentive to what he desires and loves. Do you like that song where it says, break my heart for what breaks yours? Oh, boom. Wow, Lord. Wouldn't that make a change? There's two words in this, mercy and justice. Now, the word in Hebrew for mercy looks like cheese dish. But I'm sure it's not. Hased. Thank you, Paul. Yeah, if you want to know how to say it in Hebrew, go talk to Paul. And you've got the word correctly, mate. Well done. Thank you. I've listened to Google to get to how to say it, and I'm just going, oh, buddy, cheese dish. All right. I didn't do Hebrew at Bible college. The word, Paul? Thank you. Is about our attitude. And it's about God's unconditional grace and compassion. So when it says to love mercy, it's to love God's unconditional grace and compassion into people's lives. To live that. Change our attitude. Oh, how's your attitude doing? You know, one of the hardest things I do on retreat, and it's not the fishing, trust me. The hardest thing I do on retreat is we go away on retreat. This one's six guys. Now, none of these guys are my best mates. They're other pastors from all over Queensland. And you get together, day one, great. Day two, good. Day three, I'm going to go to talk to someone else on the beach. But we're on Fraser Island and it's very rarely anyone on the beach. I found myself sitting out the front and this bird, this great big grey bird, I got a photo if you want to see what it looks like. We nicknamed him Jack because he stayed around wanting to try and pinch our fish. And I found myself talking to him and having less of an attitude with my conversation with him than I did with some of my other pastor mates. My attitude would rise up and I'd go, oh my goodness, my attitude. So I prayed lots about my attitude. And I'm looking at this passage which talks about mercy, God's unconditional grace and compassion, to let that flow from our lives and ditch our attitude towards things. Now, justice. Paul, justice. Mishpat. Close enough? It is the emphasis on action. So if you're going to be about justice in the Jewish wording, it's about action. It's not just about, oh, wow, we should do something about that. It's, no, I'm going to do something about that. Living in Tasmania, I lived in a different lifestyle. We were about justice in the world, and we were going to do whatever we could to stop bad things happening to our environment. My roommate handcuffed himself to a rock. Don't tell me about it. It's a funny story. To stop a dam being built. He got arrested. We had nuclear boats who come into Hobart. I don't know why they liked Hobart, but they come into Hobart all the time. You may want to rethink this leadership team on my ordination next week. We would sneak through the dark with boxes of eggs and throw them at these nuclear warships from America because nuclear warships were bad and naughty and doing bad things in our world. And then we'd sneak away with our camouflage clothes on, trying to be good greenies and hippies with long hair and beards, vegetarian. Trying to make a difference, justice. We've got to get rid of the bad stuff in the world. Action. As Christians, we are to be about action. 200 times in the Old Testament, this word is used. And one of the definitions given is to treat people with equality. To treat people with equitably. Thank you. To treat people equitably. You can see I'm picturing words from different people's books. Justice is not just about the punishment, but to give people their rights. It's not about the punishment, but it's about to give people their rights. Do you realize the reason we have rights within our Western culture is because of religion, because of Christianity, because of faith? Here's a quote for you, Stephen Hawking. Remember Stephen Hawking? One of the most well-known minds in our world. I never knew he'd said this, and it rocked me when I read it. The human race is just a chemical scum on a moderate-sized planet. Is that what you think you are? Chemical scum on a mid-sized planet? If you have no Jesus, then you can look at in a scientific way and see that is a possibility. If you have no understanding of rights and justice and mercy and compassion, then you could boil it down to a phrase like that. But I want you to know that each and every one of us here is created by God in His image and in His likeness, and you are special. You are not chemical scum sitting on a mid-sized planet floating through space. You are loved by God. You are special, unique, and He has called you to a purpose, and He has set you apart to be a part of His world and to bring about His goodness, grace, compassion, and justice into this world. You're on a mission. And as the early church in Antioch grabbed Paul and Barnabas and prayed for them, laid hands on them, and sent them out to go where God would lead them, I'm going to pray for you today. I'm not going to lay hands on you all, but I'm going to pray for you. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for these people here. I want to thank you, Lord God, that you are our God, that you are awesome and amazing. And Father, you want to speak into our lives, Lord God. You want to call us to a point of worship and fasting and prayer. You want to call us to a point that we will realize that we are called by you, set apart by you, by your Holy Spirit, to do what you've called us to do. And the amazing thing about this room, Lord God, is there's so many people that can do only what they can do. Only they can minister in the way that you've called them to do. Lord Jesus, Sue visiting Madeline yesterday afternoon. Only Sue can do the way that Sue meets with Madeline and just loves her and cares for her and brings that testimony this morning. And Father, many have shown their gifts today. Only they can do that for us here in this place and in this time. And as Romans 12 calls us to be a living sacrifice, as we give up the gifts that you've given us to you to be used for the kingdom, both inside these four walls and outside into our community, Father, may we about your grace and your compassion, your mercy. May we be action people about justice. Justice in our community. Justice in our world. Justice in our friendships. Justice in our streets. About seeing people as real and loved by you. Majority of them lost. Lost. And I pray, Lord God, that we would be the bearers of your good news and that we would go wherever you lead us. Father, set us apart to be your hands and feet to those that come across our path. In Jesus' name. Amen.